Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15 if you have your Bible on your phone or if you have an actual paper Bible. You who have paper Bibles, I think you're cool. All right. We always think the electronics are cool, right? Okay. So, you know, I have a acquaintance, a friend that sees the negative side of life. You know, do you have people in that in your life like that? He sees the negative more than the positive, and he's a compulsive complainer. Complain, complain, complain. And he has on several occasions let me know that harvest is not up to speed, not to his standards, and he's never visited here. Wow. And he has on... Why is he the judge? Why is he the judge? Why does he think he's the judge? But somehow he assumes he is the judge and that his judgment is righteous. And so he ends up hurting people around him, saying things that people just have a hard time handling. And he thinks he's doing them a favor if he just tells them where they're losing it, where they're not making the grade, then that helps them. And by the way, he doesn't have many friends. You know, I look at that, and by the way, you don't know him, so quit trying to figure out who it is. Okay? All right. You don't know him at all. All right. He simply does not control his foolish tongue. So this morning, I want to talk about living wisely, controlling our tongue. And so I want to read the Proverbs together here. I'll redo it. Now, last week, we had somebody that was reading my part really loud. And so the whole family was laughing. And I think, what's going on? Well, he was colorblind. So he couldn't tell one from the other. So I put underlines on mine. So that you, if you're colorblind, I am so sorry. I never thought about that. I even built this piece of software that takes into consideration colorblindness. Didn't even think about it with these slides. So, okay. So, are anybody colorblind? Oh, boom. There we go. We got a couple. All right. So this is going to work for you, isn't it? Okay. All right. All right. A soft answer turns away wrath. Harsh words stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverse sin breaks the spirit. Okay, good. First, think about what he's telling us when he says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. That sounds like it's out of place to the rest of the scripture, doesn't it? And so I had to really think about that, and I thought, oh, wait a minute. He sees it all, right? Do we all agree? God sees it all, so we don't have to do his job. We don't have to judge or pick someone apart or make the final call on someone as to who they are and that kind of thing, because that's God's job, not our job. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. Oh, you say amen. Do you really get it? That's the question, okay? And I'm pointing at me, four, you know, three fingers here, one and a half here, okay? All right. God deals with what he thinks is important. We get to the place where we think it's so important is not important at all. Ah, the tongue. You know, when I started reading this and reading this scripture, I thought, oh my gosh. Unlike our heart that we can't control because it beats on its own, our tongue, what we say that verbalizes out, is very much under our control. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. And the Bible agrees with what's important. The tongue is expanded on by James as well. And I want to read James chapter 3, starting with verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. And then James clarifies, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now, it's hard for us to do that, isn't it? I think he's being a little sarcastic. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among the members, meaning parts of the body, that it defiles, it stains the whole body. Think about that for a minute. I had to sit back and think, wow, our tongue, when we don't use it right, stains our whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, the course of existence, and it is set on fire by what? Don't we see that in our lives at times? We have immediate negative responses that would easily come out if we don't control it. Having negative responses, you are not going to get out of that on this earth. Do you realize that? That's the way the scripture kind of looks at it. What the scripture is telling you is shut up. Right? Keep your mouth shut when those feelings come up. We have the immediate negative responses, and it would easily come out if we didn't control it. And so, you know, you hang around with the wrong people, and what happens? Okay, I this was funny because I was in a group where everybody was cussing and talking bad, and I had to be there. I didn't have a choice, you know. And I'm kind of thinking a little in my mind, and so. I'm home talking to Debbie, and we're talking, and it was something that was a drag. I can't remember what it was. And so I swore. And I just went, and Debbie looks at me, and I looked at me. I said, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. And then I realized it was so easy when you're around people who keep that door open with their mouth. Do you hear me this morning? Isn't it easy? I mean, even sometimes in your head. And if you're like me, I want to get away from all that. I don't need that in my life. I have plenty of stuff in my life I have to deal with. I don't need that. And I don't think you do either. So verse 7 says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Now, I need you to understand something here. When James is talking, and that is that taming and controlling are two entirely different ideas. Taming means you've done it and it's completed and it's done. Controlling means a continuous action. The Bible's talking to us about the continuous action, the control, not the taming, okay? That's why he says, no man can tame the tongue. Isn't that true? Yes. It's going to keep coming up. It is unruly, unstably evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. In other words, we praise God and we dog people, and the people are made in the image of God. And he's saying, wait a minute, we're all made in the image of God. Why are we doing this? Out of the mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So James says, no man can tame the tongue, but we can control the tongue. But we have to look at it as a process, not an end result. We continue to control the tongue. And you thought it was just you. Jesus says something that's very similar to that when the Pharisees come and the disciples are picking food, grain, and that kind of thing and eating, and they haven't washed their hands, right? And Jesus says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile, they stain a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So it's not what goes in, it's what comes out, but then we can control what goes in. Jesus is saying, what he's saying is the outpouring of the mouth is the indicator of what's in your heart. And you know, I hate that. Don't you? Because I mean, there's times where I get into my study and I think, what in the heck is wrong with my heart? You ever feel that way? And it comes off the tip of our tongue and is definitely inside our hearts. And because all of us sin and fall short of God's standard, our tongues have a lot of bad thinking to work with. You know, Friday night, we were celebrating one of my granddaughter's birthday, and they were jumping on the trampoline, okay? And while they're jumping on the trampoline, one of the kids erps up onto the trampoline, and they're jumping and falling in it. I mean, all of us inside are like, you know. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, it's disgusting, isn't it? One of my grandsons had to change clothes. You know, I feel so bad for him, and yet it's just exactly what Jesus is describing, isn't it? Out of her mouth comes this vomit. Vomit in words and attitude. And we swallow and take it in, and something foul and foolish and evil, and it comes back up in a sinful way, especially when we choose not to control it. If we put goodness and righteousness in, what are we going to get out? Good and righteousness. Here's Paul's answer to what we do to control our tongue. Paul says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt or rotten word proceed or travel out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. Don't allow it to surface if it's bad. Work on the heart. In other words, shut your mouth. Three at me, two at you. You know, the momentary impulse to say what you shouldn't, right? It's almost like, oh, don't. You have that voice in your head, don't say this. Don't say it. Am I the only one?
No.
No. That's the Holy Spirit screaming into our mind, don't say it. And the problem is, you just feel like if you can say it, it'll satisfy something, right? How many times has that ever worked? You can never be satisfied doing that because you have to keep doing it, keep doing it, and keep doing it till you feel you've destroyed the other person. So we swallow it, we take it in, some foul and foolishness and evil, and it comes back up sin and evil if we don't choose that. So Ephesians 4:29 says this, let no corrupt or rotten word proceed or travel out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the believer. If we don't do it, it's the opposite of what God wants. Now, imagine with me a world, our world, maybe our inner self, what it would be like, what our church would be like if we followed what Solomon, James, and Paul says about the tongue. Everything that would be said would be actually helpful and encouraging. No cutting comments or hurtful gossip. No baseless or negative accusations or assessments. No harmful words being said to someone else. No negative assumptions, because assumptions are where we really build a bad heart, isn't it? Now listen, if you assume things about other people, I want to tell you something. I've been married almost 44 years now. And I do not assume what my wife is thinking. I always have to ask her, because I'm wrong many times. Right? She'll say something, I'll think, okay, what do you mean? Can you tell me what you mean by that? Because assuming, well, you know the phrase, right? I'm not going to even say it. But we do that. We assume, and we build a case, and we build a case on our assumptions, and we get all the way there, ready to blast, and we find out the whole foundation is rotten. It's not right. So what if we followed what God said? Offending no one. Because after all, God says he's going to take care of it. That's what he said in there. He's looking at the evil and the good. He's seeing everything. He's noting it all. And he's going to take care of it. Notice Paul says, and I'm going to put it into another translation, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Is it your and my personal strategy to control our words? Have you thought about that before? Is that your strategy? We do need a strategy, right? Paul continues, verse 34, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Why would we grieve him? Because of our words, our corrupt words. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, meaning rage, anger, clamor, means shouting and insults, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. That means evil planning to get even. And, or but, maybe we could say, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, I'm going to say this, and I mean, you may or may not be able to relate to this. When you come to Christ, I think that second part, forgiving one another, or be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God in Christ forgave you. Don't you actually feel like that's what you want to do as a Christian? I feel that all. I feel like that's who I want to be. And it's there. It's in my heart. And I think it's in your heart if you know Christ this morning. It's our controlling our behavior that stops the evil mouth. Our job as Christ followers is to show kindness and compassion with our words, even when we're under attack. Boy, that's the hardest time, isn't it? When somebody's flying at you, what's your action? Get them back, right? I don't know how many times I've counseled couples where people think if they get them back and they overtalk the other person, they win. Right? No, they lose. They lose every time. Because that's not what God's asking. We get caught up in the bitterness and rage and anger and shouting and insults and contemplate evil towards others, and we foolishly believe it will result in good. Two negatives don't make a positive in this case. And somehow we think we're right. And it never turns out right. And you would think in our life of history, if we continue to have that bad mouth and we fight against other people and that kind of thing, never does it work out. And we think somewhere it's like, oh, wait a minute, that doesn't work. Maybe I should try a soft speech. Maybe I should try goodness. What are we doing? What are we thinking to criticize someone that doesn't meet our standards rather than doing what's best for them? We keep acting the fool and revisiting our issues, and eventually spontaneous combustion takes place and our house burns down. Paul says we are grieving the Holy Spirit when we get caught up in bitterness, in rage and anger, shouting and insults, and consider evil towards others. You who are married, I want you to really think about this today. How do you treat your mate? How do you treat your kids? Read these proverbs with me. Ready? A harsh word stirs up anger. Okay, so I think you're not believing what I'm saying today. Or you would have read louder, okay? Or here we go. A harsh word stirs up anger. Okay, what stirs up anger? Harsh word, okay. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Reckless words pierce like a sword. A lying tongue hates those it hurts. Now we're going to go to a second set here. A positive. A gentle answer turns away wrath. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. The prayer of the upright is his bummer. Oh, delight, sorry. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Man, I love those words. These are all good things. These are the type of things that God wants us to use our tongue for. You know, in our home, we had a saying that we went by, and I thought, where'd we get this saying? And part of it is a proverb. When we were kids, we saw a Disney movie called Bambi. Anybody remember Bambi? Yeah, okay. And so there's a line spoken in there by Thumper the rabbit, and complete the line if you can. If you can't say anything nice,
Don't say anything at all.
Wow. That's pretty good. Isn't that amazing? Good wisdom in that, isn't there? I read a variation on a Proverbs a while back that I love. And this is what they said. It's better to keep your mouth shut and be a fool, be thought a fool, than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
I like that.
Yeah, I love that. Proverbs 15 tells us that it's our choice not to open our mouths unless using the tongue for good. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. The tongue of the wise commends or holds in high regard knowledge. And when he uses knowledge here, he means knowledge and wisdom. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. In Psalms 119:98, David says, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. James 1:5, if any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. In other words, what he's saying is when you ask for wisdom, it doesn't matter where your heart's at, he's going to give you that wisdom. So on the back of your bulletin, if you have a pen, You can write this down. Write down your personal application for this morning. Or maybe it's so stuck and burned in your head, you don't need to do that. But what is it that you've heard today through the scriptures, what's been said, that you need to pray on? Write that down and put it on your dashboard or put it on your refrigerator or whatever. Write that down and look at it and look at it and look at it and think about it. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who hear. Your home should be a safe haven. Your church should be a safe haven. All of us are exposed to the outside world, amen? We hear it. We see people saying disastrous things and stupid things. We see people fighting and warring against each other. Like James says, we're the church. We're the antithesis of that. We're the ones that open our mouth and use our words for righteousness. Amen? Let's pray.